Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Hall of Jostis Comic Cast. You got Above Average Joe here, and continuing a string of guest appearances, our good friend Excalibur from Cerebral Syndicate.
I'm here, and I'm not okay.
No, neither one of us are okay.
We'll tell you why yeah. After the break. No.
We're 15 seconds in. Let's go ahead and take a break.
Yeah.
We're coming at you with the kind of a quick fire review of the first three episodes of Young Justice Season 3, The Outsiders. Neither one of us are okay.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Woo!
I don't regret getting this back at all.
Mm-mm.
But I'm pretty sure Greg Wiseman was like, hey, you want this back? Check this out.
Are you sure?
The beautiful, and you brought this up as we were kind of talking before we started recording. The beautiful thing about this is that they don't have to worry about Cartoon Network standards, and they don't have to worry about fucking toy sales.
Yeah.
And this season, holy shit. I think it's going to, like, so as we were watching the first episode, I was like, man, this shit got dark quick. And you were like, do you remember we're watching Young Justice? And I was like, yeah, fair. You're right. Yeah, fair. But I think them being a DC Universe exclusive mm-hmm. is really going to unlock this show.
Oh, yeah. This first three episodes, I would put in terms of just tone right up there with the Killing Joke adaptation.
Oh, dude, it's dark.
Yeah.
Oh, it's dark.
It's dark.
Yeah. Kids die, parents getting murdered, all this shit. Like, and it's not dark in a sense to where it's like they're just going off the rails.
No,
they're
dealing with heavy subjects.
Yeah, they're dealing with heavy subjects. And I think what's cool about it is that this show, through its three seasons so far, has matured as the team has grown.
Yeah.
So season one was a little more lighthearted.
Yeah, they're kids. Yeah. They're still starting.
And as you go into season two and the team is older, mm-hmm. the subject matter changes and it gets darker. So now that we're into season three, so when we pick up on season three, this is 2 years after.
So it is two
yeah,
years.
It is 2 years. Okay. Yeah, I just checked. So it's 2 years after the end of season two where Nightwing and Kelder were having a conversation, and Nightwing was like, I need a break because all of the shit we just dealt with, like, I can't do it. I just can't. And you're the leader of this group anyway, so I'm giving it back to you and I'm out.
This is saying, you know, Nightwing, Batman's first protege, needs to come up for air.
Yeah. So in that 2 years, a lot of stuff has happened.
Yeah.
So the core of the team, which has always been Kelder, Nightwing, McGann, are still together, but they're doing, and Superboy, they're all doing different things. Mm-hmm. So McGann is still running the team.
Yeah.
And she's still with Superboy, thank God.
Oh, God. If that had changed again.
If that fell apart again, I was going nerd raging in the apartment. Like,
we both know how how emotionally invested I am in the relationships of this
yes.
show. It's
oh, yeah.
almost
of course.
Unhealthy.
Yeah, it is. So they're together, actually living together on a farm, no doubt, of course. Because all
with a dog.
Kents live
Kents
on
can't
a
live
farm.
In, yeah, like that's like a thing. You put the Kents in the city and they're like, oh, no.
Yeah. And
they vacation on farms. Yeah.
So Nightwing has actually been running around as fucking Agent Grayson,
which I'm loving,
which is fucking awesome.
Oh.
And he's being backed by Oracle. So enough time has passed where Barbara has stopped being Batgirl and she's Oracle.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's with or without the disability, we don't know because we haven't seen her yet.
Yeah, she's hidden from us. All we get is dialogue and some great on-screen humor.
Yeah. And they have great chemistry already.
Yeah.
Which I love because they're leaning into the fact that they just have natural chemistry already.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of one of the weird things in season two was even though they interacted with each other, we didn't get a lot of that normal.
We got more chemistry with them in the first season with
right.
the few, like, Gotham Academy scenes they had
mm-hmm.
than we did in season two.
Right. And I think it's because season two, because they were dealing with different things
mm-hmm.
and Nightwing was kind of separated from the Bat family as they were kind of going a more covert ops kind of stuff
yeah.
because that was their mission from the league at the time, that I'm pretty sure that's where a lot of that landed because the core of the team was actually separated from a lot of new recruits.
And Nightwing isolated himself so much throughout that season to begin with.
So he's doing Secret Agent Grayson, which is amazing.
Oh, God.
And fucking Kelder. Kelder.
Take it.
Is the new Aquaman.
I love it. Kelder, yes. I read an interview recently where they're talking about that progression, and it calls back to season one where Arthur is training Kelder to be the new Aquaman so that he can focus on being king. And it's happened. Kelder is Aquaman.
We're here. We're full tilt.
He's in the gold. I love it. I love it.
And I love the way that they did his suit, too, because it wasn't like, oh, we're going to give you the traditional Aquaman garb.
Yeah.
They kept his traditional, like, red and black, but then they changed it to where it's more fit to him, so he's not wearing the boots. He's still, like, barefoot.
He's got the orange chest, and like, they've kind of covered his tattoos with some gold armor.
Yeah, so he's got gold armor that kind of covers his tats, but they're not full sleeves. They're like half sleeves because they're strapped at the bottom.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Green Arrow's Van Braces
almost. Yeah, exactly. And his sides are opened up, and he still has
water bearers.
Yeah. So it's a really cool look for him, especially like his career in 2 years has advanced so much that he's now co-chair for the league.
Yeah,
so it's him and Wonder Woman, so that's cool as shit.
Yeah.
So we've seen a lot of our favorites that we've grown up with, just the core from season one. A lot of them have advanced so much so that they are leaguers at this point.
Well, let's talk about the league roster here, because they expanded quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
From what we saw in season two.
Yeah.
Can just confirm members. Of course, there's the classic lineup.
Yep.
New additions would be Batwoman.
Batwoman was there.
Plastic Man was there.
Plastic Man. Hardware, which is a deep cut from Milestone.
Yeah. They've always been deep with Milestone. I mean, you got Static, you got Icon and Rocket. I mean, they've always
Rocket's a league member now. That happened like at the very end of season two.
Yeah.
And that was kind of when they were nominating new members at the very, like, kind of like very the last, end, like, four or five episodes. Yeah.
Zatanna
was there because she was another one that they nominated. Kind of
Doctor Fate, which I believe is still Zatara at this point.
Yes, it's still Zatara. Yeah, they haven't. I don't think they've switched host yet because it was Zatara at the end of season two.
Yeah,
Steel. Yeah, Steel's there, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's legit Steel. John Henry in the full gear. Hammer and cape, all of it.
the whole kit and caboodle. And then
Katana was there.
Katana was there. I feel like we're missing.
We had Canary and Green Arrow.
Yeah, Canary and Green Arrow was there. Shazam was there. Bats, of course.
Bats.
Superman, but he was off world in this particular episode, except for the very beginning.
Yeah, I didn't see Hawk Black Lightning. Lightning's there.
Yeah, Lightning's there. I didn't see the Hawks either. I don't know if they're part of the league.
We know that there's at least 23 members of the league just based on their Zeta Tube logins and stuff.
Yeah.
Man, like, that's a big roster alone.
Yeah. And and one thing that I love, too, is because we have that two-year time gap, like, you've seen the turnover in the league. Like, you're seeing members switch out as they're getting older. Yeah. So, I'm assuming we'll see a lot of that just going into the season. So, one major heavy hit going into this season already was at the beginning, they're dealing with the continued fallout of the metagene trafficking that they explored in season two.
Yeah, everything that the Reach did in season two has kicked into overdrive.
Yeah, it went into overdrive. And now what we know specifically now is that this Vandal Savage Dark Side relationship that has been continuous actually has now grown into something bigger in the 2 years.
Yeah.
So Dark Side has taken what the Reach has done and is like kicked it in. So it's like we
the metahuman trafficking that's happened on Earth is now causing problems throughout the cosmos, which is why so many leaguers are in deep space. Connor mentions that Superman has actually been off world
for quite a bit of time. Yeah.
I want to talk for a second about the actual designs, because there's callbacks in the character designs that pay homage to the New 52 animated universe. Wonder Woman's design.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's design is very New 52. So is Superman's. Like, his suit is very New 52.
It's got New 52 Rebirth kind of slant to it there.
Even Batman suit, like they've moved it closer to what he was wearing in like Son of Batman and Bad Blood, and so I don't know where this falls continuity wise. Like I don't know if they're counting this as part of 52, which I'm assuming they might because a lot of the voice actors are the same as well.
Yeah.
So if this is a part of 52, it's a damn good part of it, and it matches with that whole aesthetic as well, because 52 is a little darker in tone.
Yeah, the only issue would, and I don't know if we're treating. Just speaking to that, if it is part of the New 52 universe, I wouldn't know if Judas Contract would be a standalone or not.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah,
if that's the case, mostly because of kind of how Judas Contract was done, because it's almost kind of like they told it as a standalone.
Same way they did story. with Killing Joke.
Exactly. Yeah. So it may stand by itself, just by itself, because they have an overarching plan for everything else. Because part of DC's slate for next year is they have a whole lot of animated films.
Oh yeah. This year. Yeah.
So, because of that, it's like, oh, hey, we have more animated films. Here you go.
Yeah. And especially with their streaming service, they're doing all these as, you know, exclusives, and that's an amazing buy from them. These first three episodes were intense. Like, it starts intense. It starts with a conflict on Rand. So, we establish the scope of this right off the bat. This isn't just, you know, they're fighting their typical baddies on Earth. I mean... Possibly that could possibly allude to the Hawks, because it could be something with the Rand Thanagar conflict, which we already saw kind of brewing last season when we visited Rand.
Right.
I mean, I got to see Adam Strange again. I was happy about that.
Yeah. And he's still with his alien girlfriend, wife, whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what the relationship is, but yeah, there it is. We still got it. Yeah.
Human guy on Rand. I'm not going to follow it any further than that.
Yeah.
This is intense. The league is fractured. They do a lot of cool socio-political things that have been done in the comics with the league. And can we just say it's a bad idea to let Lex Luthor near anything in the political spectrum?
You would think we've learned this already, but apparently they keep circling back to it. So a lot of what happens with this league splintering as well is Luthor is UN ambassador, like he's head of the UN, and
that's a good idea.
Yeah, and he put a lot of stipulations on the league, and it's causing them to be very inefficient at their jobs. So Batman, as Batman does, came up with a plan to basically start the Outsiders. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And not only does that make him start his own group, that also kind of kicks Nightwing into a position to where he was like, okay, now we have to do something. Now the team has to do something.
Because the roster for the current team gets cut in half, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, Batman leaves and takes Batwoman, Katana, Green Arrow.
Yep.
Tim,
Hard Drive. Yep.
Who else did he lose?
So you're talking, we're losing Young Justice
spoiler
members
as well.
Yes, but yeah, spoiler left. So we're losing Young Justice members, and we're losing Leaguers.
Yeah.
So we have, which may end up causing a conflict towards the end of the season, because we have Batman's team now, which is the Outsiders, and then we have Dick that went ahead and set up his own team as well too. Mm-hmm. Because when you talk team loyalty, everybody that's on Dick's team now is going to swing his way.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is going to be like, we're going with Nightwing. There is no question. Period.
Yeah.
The only one that may be on the outskirts of that is maybe Lightning. That's a hard maybe.
Yeah. I would say you're going to see a conflict with McGann only because she is in leadership of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And her responsibilities in safeguarding them would probably need to override her loyalty to Dick.
Right.
In that, I don't think she would go out of her way to stop him, but probably wouldn't be able to participate as much as she would want to.
Right. And then the same thing for Kelder as well.
Yeah.
Because Kelder, his loyalties, again, are going to swing the way of Nightwing. So, but he also being now co-chair of the league has to be very diplomatic in what he decides to do.
Especially with the league's on Earth, you know, representation cut in half.
Yeah.
because so many of the leakers are off-world. Wonder Woman's off-world. Flash is off-world.
Yep. And they
Superman is off-world.
Yeah, even Hard Drive's off-world. Yeah. Plaz is off-world. And they did establish in the first three episodes, too, that the League is still trying to repair their relationship with the universe as a whole because of the them having the weird, you know, freak-out moment where they decided to go and destroy a planet.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
Because the you know. Oh, man.
And the early conflict with, or the early interpersonal conflict with Black Lightning, I think is going to play a really big part of the season going forward.
Oh, yeah.
Especially now that we know that his ex-wife in the show is John Stewart's sister.
Because that's, you know.
Because that is not going to throw anybody for a loop. Here's hoping John Diggle is Green Lantern in the Arrowverse.
According to what happened on Earth 90, he
is. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Yeah. Man, so I want to talk for a second about kind of the way they're approaching the metahuman trafficking. They're... Guys, this gets dark. I mean, this is just straight up human trafficking.
Yeah,
that has got like a veneer of superheroism layered over it, and they don't try to hide that.
Not at all.
Yeah, with as Lee said, with Black Lightning, you're seeing him react not as a superhero who's had a traumatic event. You're seeing him react as a father. Jefferson Pierce is a teacher, so his loyalty kind of gets splintered away, not from the team's objective, but like he's dialed into what's going on with these kids, and it is messing with him hardcore.
Yeah, because he's dealing with it from the standpoint of his own moral compass.
Yeah.
Because he goes through a phase in the first couple episodes where he just can't use his powers. Like, his powers just shut down.
Yeah.
And that's because he thinks he kills a kid on Ran, and he's like, what did I just do?
Yeah.
And he goes through a whole traumatic episode for two episodes.
Yeah.
And, you know, he finally, you know, decides that, you know, I have a job to do and I still have to save people.
Yeah.
So his powers, you know, kick back in.
He gets in episode pissed.
Three. He gets pissed.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a lot of, I think we're still going to see a lot of that. And I think he may be a cornerstone to this whole, like, three teams thing that's going on.
Yeah,
now.
I think you're
going
to see him take a central role. I also think that the friend that Artemis made.
She has a name.
Has a name. I'm going to tell the story about how we met her and how you and I almost leapt off the couch.
It's so good.
Yeah, so she kind of just, you know, pops out of the ground like a daisy. They thought she was dead, and she just sits up. And we're sitting there on the couch drinking coffee, and both of us just bolt upright.
Yeah, like,
what the hell?
Yeah, dead girl. So, Halo. Is going to be her
title?
Yeah, it's going to be her alias, yeah. So, and the team, and so Nightwing's team is actually coming together pretty fast.
Yeah.
So, by the time we end episode 3, Geo-Force is on the team officially, because he gets banished from his country, and then they found and adopted Halo, I guess. So
Artemis,
I guess,
made a friend.
Yeah, I guess Artemis is gonna have not only Roy and his daughter, but this strange new girl living in her house.
Yeah, I feel like you're probably gonna see Roy or Will or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
Roy. Becoming Red Arrow again to fill the position of Green Arrow on the League.
I don't think. Yeah,
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I think you're going to see that progress.
It'll be like episode 10, 12. Yeah. It'll be mid-season. Like, it's not going to happen right away.
Yeah,
because I think Keldor's going to start calling favors.
The League
fill
is
in
decimated.
League spots. Yeah, because they lost, you know, like 10 members.
Yeah,
so he's got to, you know, start calling in favors to get people to fill spots out, and they don't have a Batman spot, so he may be going back to talk to Dick, which may or may not happen, because
we may see these teams consolidate. I don't know. I mean, I think no matter what, you're going to see that happen throughout the season, but we may end up seeing the team turn into something new entirely.
Yeah,
which wouldn't be bad considering they're just known as the team.
Yeah. Beast Boy, from in the 2 years, Beast Boy has been away from the team as well, too. So I think we may see him come back after he's done being
with what he's doing. And can we just talk about how he's gone full Galaxy Quest? And it's great.
It's awesome.
By Grabthar's hammer.
Yeah, he has gone full Galaxy Quest and doing fucking old school CBS, the more you know, fucking ads.
That was brilliant. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's great.
Yeah. And, of course, our J. Jonah Jameson parallel.
Yeah.
Gordon Godfrey is back, and he's...
He's still a dick.
Is he still voiced by Tim Curry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which works so well.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think we're going to see Gar back sooner rather than later. I want to talk about some interesting characters they've brought in for the UN, because we see Garth as the Atlantean representative, yep. and Troia... as
the Themyscira
ambassador. Yeah. First of all, did they even show us Troia much in season 2?
No. Like, I don't think at all.
No,
the only reason we saw Garth was because
of the whole Tula thing.
Yeah, yeah, Tula thing with Kelder.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. Like, and that's about as far as a relationship. I think it's odd for me, and it's maybe because Kelder's so young and him being an Aquaman, the fact that we've totally bypassed Garth being
anything. Well, I think they did that when, if you go back to season 1 with the episode where he goes back to Atlantis, I think they just canonically decided to supplant Garth's story with Kelder, and just,
which I think is fine.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
And I think for me, probably because I've never really been a big fan of Garth, and then once Kelder showed up, I was like, that's my Aqualad forever.
I've always liked Garth more with the Titans when he's older. Like, his Aqualad was just...
Yeah, older Garth has always been
cooler. Golly gee, Willikers Aquaman. Yeah. You know?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And that's, we've talked about that in our Aquaman episode.
Let me throw hard water bubbles at you.
Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something that came back in this show really quickly, and I didn't realize how much I missed it until it happened. Mm. I love Artemis's fight banner.
Her banter is great. She
can talk to herself, and it's some of the most entertaining stuff that happens in the episode.
But it's better with Wally. He's coming back this season. He's coming back this season.
He's got to. He's got to.
There's no way.
There was the heartstrings moment. It's 2 years later. She wakes up, rolls over, and she's got a picture of her and Wally there. And I'm like, I'm still not over this.
Yeah.
In that moment, I flash back to the end of season 2 where she shows up on, Jay's door, sad face. And I'm just like, I can't, man.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a little more than we expect gut-wrench-wise, like, going into the rest of the season. Like, that's one thing.
This was such a tame introduction.
Yeah, and one thing I've noticed really quick out of this season is that they're going to lean into every piece of a storyline that they've had between the first two seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's going to be a lot of callbacks. So
we've seen a bunch of callbacks already.
Yeah, just in the first three episodes.
Byalia.
Yeah.
Relasia. We've seen...
Hell, fucking Gar is dating...
the princess that Wally saved.
Yeah, the princess.
The heart transplant.
Yep. So, yeah, they... Yeah. There you go.
I do want to say... McGann, in her Martian form, has actually gone white Martian.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like that.
Well, and I think that was a byproduct of her and Connor's ending in season 2, when he finally is like, he's like, I already knew. Like, I knew you were a white Martian. Like, I've known since you got here, so.
Yeah.
The fuck? Like, Yeah, just do it.
I do like that Connor is carrying the Superman responsibility, that he feels more of a need to step out of the shadows a bit because Clark is off world.
And you can tell too, and this goes to the credit of Greg Wiseman and his team's character development. There's a part in episode 2 where right before Dick goes to recruit Connor, he's talking to McGann, he's like, Superman hasn't been around, and I really don't know how to feel. And we're still, it's obvious that Connor is still dealing with a lot of his demons, which is kind of contrast to his character now, right? Because we saw him in episode three, and he's got more of like a weird like tactical leadership role.
And then there's moments in episode three where he is very much the Superman, where he's, you know, he's patient and reassuring, yeah. And I'm like, where's the Connor that doesn't like monkeys and just yells and jumps at things?
Yeah, and is angry and flipping tables and all this shit. Yeah. So one of the best part of episode three is Connor beating up the fucking villain, and dude doesn't even touch him. And we automatically just go, yep, that's all the times that Black Canary whooped his ass in the course of a year.
Oh, yeah, he's just got so, he's juking and everything, boom.
Punch and counter, like, yeah. He's just doesn't take a lick and just...
Yeah, he's not even, like, tapping into powers. I mean, he's just boom, boom, boom. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's because Black Canary
whooping his ass for a year. There's that.
Man, it was an intense start to the season. I'm glad they're doing it in three-episode chunks, mainly because if they had just front-loaded this whole thing...
Oh, yeah, if they Netflix this, like, I would just be... I wouldn't achieve anything this weekend.
No, we'd be going through every coffee pot I've got on.
Two, it gives it time to breathe, because I actually do want to go back and watch seasons one and two.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back after watching this. Like, I realize I do need to go back and just brush up.
Yeah, even though I remembered a lot of it, it's probably because I've watched Young Justice so much.
Oh, that's because during the campaign it was like watch and rewatch, watch and rewatch.
Yeah, that's all it did. I want to go back just from the context of the storytelling.
Like, oh yeah,
because of how well Greg writes his stories, but then that's always kind of his thing, right? Like, he's one of his, you know, earliest hits that, you know, another show that everybody wants back in some capacity is Gargoyles. Like, he was
the
mastermind behind Gargoyles, which was the centerpiece for Disney's afternoon block for
years. They tried to supplant it with that weird Mighty Ducks show, and that didn't work.
I liked Mighty Ducks.
I did too. It was nowhere near the caliber they wanted to say it was, but I liked it.
It's weird how they tried to play up Mighty Ducks to be like, oh my god, the show was so great. And I was like, no, it's just weird.
It was just weird. Their planet was shaped like a hockey puck.
Yep, planet was shaped like a hockey puck.
We're not, okay.
And nobody noticed that the Anaheim Ducks were actual ducks. Fucking ducks.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand. Mm.
But he had that cool goalie mask.
They had the fucking goalie mask that was like super special fucking secret
bionicle gold mask. I miss those old Disney cartoons because they didn't try to over-explain
fucking
shit.
Tailspin, man. Don't explain why a fucking talking bear can like pilot a cargo plane and his fucking sidekick fucking like cloud surfs. Don't explain that shit. Just lean into it, man.
I just like the fact that King Louis, you know, owned a bar.
Yeah, dude. Well, I mean, and their fucking mechanic was fucking, like, Tigger's long-lost cousin, so whatever.
Yeah, true. We're okay, so back to Young Justice.
back to, you know, Greg. Like, he also did Spectacular Spider-Man, which we were talking earlier this week, series. That it's easily, you know, the second best Spider-Man animated series.
And that's only because the 90s series was so good.
Yeah, that's only because the 90s.
And it's not a big margin.
and it's not. And I think if Spectacular had a chance to live longer than it did, it might have even supplanted the 90s
one. If it had a third season, I could have seen it supplanting.
The 90s one had such a prolific and long run. Like
five seasons?
Yeah, it was five seasons. So they were just like, nope.
Yeah.
He also did... God, it was another...
Well, you're looking at that. I want to talk about, for a second, the... there are so many great Easter eggs throughout the show, and little just tongue-in-cheek references to future projects that are coming. There's a Stargirl reference in this thing that is great. As Lee mentioned, there's the fact that Jefferson Pierce's ex-wife is Jon Stewart's sister, which she throws at him, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the sister of a Green Lantern.
And he's like... he didn't know how to take it.
Yeah, he was like, I don't want to have... Mm-mm. Could you imagine how awkward league meetings must have been after they got divorced?
Yep.
Like, just imagine just like, walking in there and
John's
like, Jefferson.
Yeah. Like, Wiseman was, to kind of give a break in the action, he was a writer on Ben 10. He was a big part of that Man of Action team for Ben 10 for a long time. And then Transformers Prime, which I absolutely love that show. He's a writer for Prime. And then, if I remember correctly, I think he was involved in Voltron this season as well, too. Like, the last season of Voltron.
Saw him popping up
there. Yeah. So, I mean, the guy's everywhere. And he's known as a really good storyteller, too. So, I think...
Yeah. You know, he's got a well-deserved fan following.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know what to expect from this season, and I love that. But just based off these first three episodes, I am not going to be okay.
No. It's going to be... I think the season's going to be really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I could honestly see another death this season.
Yeah.
Much as I hate to say it.
Yeah.
Could happen.
I definitely see that in the cards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious as to who it might be. Do we want to try to go ahead and...
It'll be somebody important, but not somebody that we're going to... I know it'll be somebody important, but it won't be like a Wally. Like, it, like, who was so massively important to the ecosystem of the team or the league. I think it'll be somebody just as important, but not as heavy. Like, I could see it being like a Roy.
I don't think they're going to go with Roy only because they've done so much with Roy.
Yeah. Well, somebody like him. Like, it didn't have to be him exactly.
But. I'm honestly going to say I think it might be Clark.
Interesting.
Just because of where they're positioning Connor and some of the evolution we've seen from him, I think we could possibly... If he doesn't die, he stays off-world for quite a time.
Yeah. And if he does, maybe we get a Supergirl in there, too, because we already have Steel. So maybe we see, like, the Super family play a bigger role.
Yeah. I feel like we're, by the end of the season, we're going to see Connor step into that role.
Mm-hmm.
As far as...
I see a costume change in his future.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I mean, you mean actually getting a costume?
You mean not a black shirt and cargo pants? And tactical boots?
Man, okay. When they talked about the, you know, them getting tactical gear, I just flashed back to that scene in season one where he takes his shirt off, turns it inside upside out, down.
Yeah.
Puts it on.
Yep.
It was great.
No shame.
Yeah. As far as deaths go, if we're looking at the team itself, I think there's a potential for Jefferson to get self-sacrificial.
I thought about the two, but...
I think it's a little on the nose.
I think it's way too on the nose.
But I think there's potential for it.
But I think his internal struggle arc that we're going through now is also going to have a redemption arc towards the end. And I think Static may play a big part of that as well.
I love that partnership.
That
it's just a quick nod. But
oh,
the
dude,
mentorship.
That's a partnership that we should have gotten, like, years.
Years
ago in the comics. Like, it should have happened. But they alluded to it at the end of season two already. And he was one of the quote-unquote original outsiders of the meta kids that decided to stick around. So
I wish Apache Chief had stayed.
Yeah. but because he did stick around, Jefferson was like, hey, you know, you could use a mentor because your powers are like mine.
Yeah.
Like, I think we'll see, and a lot of the kids that we didn't get to see at the end of season two, I think we're going to see a lot more of them now.
Yeah, especially with the league, you know, with a lot of
recruitment
to do.
I think the team themselves is going to change dynamics. So I think the core team will go back to being younger members. And I think we'll see another part of the team where they just may end up being leaguers if they don't have like a three, you know, folds power struggle where the leaguers become the new team because the team seats that are empty, the league seats that are empty are going to be taken by team members.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where they decide to take things for the rest of the season.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. It's probably going to be depressing as hell.
Well, yeah, it's Young Justice. You enjoy it because it hurts you. Like, this is just...
I laugh, but I laugh to mask my pain.
Yeah. Fake laugh, hiding real pain. I do want to make one reference here, because there's a great, great dialogue moment between Roy and Dick.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
It's the joke that you're expecting it to be, but it's done in such a deadpan fashion. It's 10 times funnier than it should be. It's hilarious.
And I think it's only inherently funny to us. And it may be to anybody else who's a fan of the show, too, because we already know what their dynamic is. And
they just go right back
Yeah, and they just go right back into ribbing each other. And it's great. And it's like, you guys probably haven't seen each other in, like, the better part of a year and a half, maybe.
At least.
Yeah, and, you know, here's Nightwing coming to recruit you. And he's like, oh, hey, Roy. He's like, oh, I mean, Will? Yeah, it's weird. He goes, oh, hey,
Richard.
I mean,
Dick.
He's like, oh, okay. This is how we're playing this.
This is how this show works when it's not on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be great. I'm excited to see how much it's going to hurt me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I want to see Greg do more animated stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I want to see this series become the start of a whole new expansion.
So, one thing that I think both Marvel and DC have been missing has been a firm grip on televised animated content.
Oh, absolutely. We've been missing that since, at the very least, since the Batman.
Yeah, and the Batman went off air in, what,
2003, 2004?
Something like that? Yeah, so even if it just ends up being on the DC Universe app, which is fine.
Because it's not expensive.
It's not expensive, and they can kind of tailor the shows how they want. I think Greg is the closest thing we have to a Dwayne McDuffie, honestly.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because there hasn't, because McDuffie had a really good way of building a world, especially after Paul Dini and
Bruce Timm
were like, yeah, we're going to take a break. And then Bruce Timm came back eventually, but he came back as more of a creative overseer.
Yeah, he was more of a content advisor.
Yeah, exactly. So he came out of the storytelling role and more into a content creator, you know, curator role. So I would love to see Greg find a home at DC and kind of run, even if he's not writing their stories. I would love to see him just run.
Oh, absolutely. I think we would lose something if he's not writing, because his writing is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, man, I wish he would start writing comics again.
Oh, God. I would be so happy.
Yeah.
Can he write the you know, Static Shock Black Lightning book that we've just talked about?
Because, yep.
Greg, if you're listening.
Yeah, Greg, if you're listening, please write this book.
We would love that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, bye. But yeah, with that, guys, I'm going to cut this real short. It's going to be real simple. Now that we've ended the episode,
yep.
Turn this off. Go watch Young Justice.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Yeah. Definitely, if you haven't watched Young Justice since it's been off of Netflix, which has been off of Netflix, I think, for about a year.
About a year, yeah.
Or if you haven't watched it since it's been off TV or whatever amount of time, if you haven't watched Young Justice in the last, like, maybe 4 months,
yeah,
you might want to go back and watch seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched it recently, and I'm still going to go back just because.
Yeah, same. Again, it's one of those shows that I just go back and watch, like, yeah, consistently. Like, hey, I'm going to do some work at home. What am I going to watch?
Young Justice. Yeah.
For the 1 millionth time. Yeah. So, but yeah, definitely go and catch up on it before you dive into this, because you may miss a lot of the small stuff that may be important.
You need to, it's always best to refresh. We will come at you again once we've watched episodes 4 through 6.
Oh yeah, I'm down. We just make this a weekly thing.
This is a weekly thing. This is gonna happen.
Yeah.
I needed a viewing buddy.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Emotional support. All right, guys. Well, as always, you can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Hall of Justice or at hallofjustice.com. And Lee?
Cerebral Syndicate. We're everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you're on Apple Podcasts, it's just type in Cerebral Syndicate. You'll find it. SoundCloud, Cerebral Syndicate. We're everywhere. We're
not hard to find. Can also find them on our page, too. We do a lot of crossovers, as I'm sure you're aware.
Mm-hmm. Way too much, but it's fine.
I don't think there's such a thing as too much.
Nah, it's not.
All right. All righty, gang. Tune in next time.
Tippy Bartenders.